word, and we ask, Almighty God, that it would go forth and it would give us your instruction, that we would no longer wonder what is the will of the Father, but it has been written down to us. It has been given to us through the prophets and through the apostles, and it has been given to us by the greatest prophet, who is Yeshua, and the greatest apostle, who is Yeshua himself. So we ask, O Spirit of the living God, continue to speak and reveal your truth to us as we will walk in unity of the faith with one another and build Abba Father God's kingdom together. Not one can do it by themselves, but it is a team effort in that Yeshua is our captain. He gives us our marching orders, and we are to walk and obey, fully trusting in him and building up our brothers and sisters in Messiah. To God's name be all praise and glory and honor in Yeshua's name. Amen. Turn now, if you will, with me to Matthew, chapter 24, and we'll begin at verse 15. This is the second part in this sermon, Yeshua's on the last days. This is yet part two. There may be a part three that depends on how much time I have today. But this is a continuing message, is it not? Yes, it is. And so first, let us now look at Matthew 24, 15. Who is speaking here but Yeshua? And where is he? He's now on the Mount of Olives. And so he and his Talmudim, the disciples, they're looking at the temple site. They're looking at the old city of Jerusalem, all right? And so Yeshua goes on to share with them his opinion on the last days. So when you see the abomination that causes desolation spoken out about through the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand the allusion. Continuing in verse 16, that will be a time for those in Judah to escape to the hills. If someone is on the roof, he must not go down to gather his belongings from his house. Verse 16 here. That the time of those in Judah to escape to the hills. Verse 17, if someone is on the roof, he must not go down to gather his belongings from his house. If someone then is in the field, they must not turn back to get his coat. Verse 19, what a terrible time it will be for a pregnant woman and a nursing mothers. Pray that you will not have to escape in the winter or on Shabbat, for there will be trouble then worse than there has ever been from the beginning of the world until now, and there will be nothing like it again. Indeed, if the length of this time had not been limited, not one would survive. But for the sake of those who have been chosen, its length will be limited. At that time, if someone says to you, look here, here's the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe him. For there will appear false messiahs and false prophets, performing miracles and amazing things, so as to fool even the chosen, if possible. There, I, who's speaking here but Yeshua, have told you in advance. So if people say to you, listen, he is out in the desert, don't go. Or look, he is hidden away in a secret room. Do not believe it. For when the Son of Man does come, it will be like lightning that flashes out of the east and fills the sky to the western horizon. Whenever there is a dead body, that's where you will find the vultures. But immediately following those troubled times, The sun will grow dark and the moon will stop shining. The stars will fall from the sky, and the powers which are the sun and the moon in the heaven, and the heaven is the universe, shall be shaken. Verse 30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the tribes of the land will mourn. And they, the people, will see the Son of Man coming out of the clouds of heaven with tremendous power and glory. He who is the Messiah will send out his angels with a great shofar, and they, his angels, will gather his chosen people from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now let the fig tree teach you its lesson. When its branches begin to sprout and leaves appear, you know that summer is now approaching. In the same way, when you see all these things, you are to know that the time is near and right at the door. Yes, I tell you that this people will certainly not pass away before all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never pass away. Now, what you've heard now is you've heard what is read from verses 15 through 35. But you see what Yeshua is sharing this to them? He's sharing to people, his Talmudim, his disciples, who have a Hebraic mindset. So here are the scriptures that are coming into light in their mind. The Spirit of living God is shedding light and bringing to their memory these scriptures. So let us hear it again. Matthew 15. And so when you see the abomination that causes desolation spoken about through the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand the allusion. And what is an allusion? It is something that is generally familiar, okay? Something that we can have a basis for. And so this is what it says in Daniel. When Antiochus IV Epiphanes, I'm giving a historical background here, conquered Jerusalem in 163 before the Common Era, he erected an altar to Zeus in the temple. In 1 Maccabees 1:5-4 and 6:7 refer to this as the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy. But Yeshua here is pointing out to an additional fulfillment during the third temple. And you know what's going on here? What are the disciples looking at when they look across the Mount of Olives? But they're looking at the literal second temple. So Yeshua is speaking to them about something that is going to be fulfilled in the future, that was partially fulfilled in that the second temple. So continuing here, when the Messiah, the Antichrist, will set himself up as a god and demand that all people worship him. Okay? Has that occurred yet? Is there a third temple in Jerusalem? Absolutely not. But who's giving us this prophetic word? Yeshua is, but he's using whom? The Old Testament prophets. And so this is what Daniel 9:27 says. And this is a scripture that would be flashing in the minds of his Talmudim, his disciples. He who is the anti-Messiah or the Antichrist will make a strong covenant with the leaders. The leaders of what? The religious leaders who are in charge of the temple. So continuing here. He will make a covenant with them for 1 week, which if you break it down is actually 3 years. All right? And it says, goes on to say this, for a half a week, which is 6 months or a half a year, he, the anti-Messiah, will put a stop to the sacrifice and the grain offering. Okay? Now, Daniel here is speaking not of the second temple. He's speaking of a third temple. And you know what? God does not even reveal to him that he's even speaking of this third temple. Because the Antichrist did not arise during the time of Maccabees. He was a type of the Antichrist and Antiochus Epiphanes, but he wasn't the full fulfillment of it. But you see, when Yeshua is instructing his Talmudim, he's not saying, "Now I'm going to send you forth and you're to proclaim Matthew through Revelation to our people." He can't do that. Why? Because it has not even been written yet. They're living out Matthew, okay? And so when he says it, he's going to send them forth with the scriptures, the word of God, what is he speaking of? But from Genesis through Malachi, right? Bereshit through Malachi, okay? And so going on here, the anti-Messiah will put a stop to the sacrifice and the grain offerings. Now think in our context today. There is not yet a third temple in existence, right? Have we been bringing grain offerings and sacrifices both morning and day for the last 2,000 years? Absolutely not. So this will be a surprise to those who are living during the third temple's time of being erected, and the Levitical priesthood restarting again, and the morning and the evening sacrifices beginning yet again. And isn't it beautiful that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, has instructed our board that we should be going through which book of the Bible, but the book of Hebrews, and how this coincides even with what Yeshua is sharing with us today. So let us continue here. And on the wing of the detestable things, the desolator, who is the anti-Messiah, will come and continue. The already decreed destruction is poured out now on the desolator. And that is saying that his destruction will be coming upon his own head. Okay? Now, the other scripture frame of reference is Daniel 11:31. And this is what it says in Daniel 11:31. Armed forces will come against at his order and profane the sanctuary and the fortress. They will abolish the daily burnt offering and set up an abomination that causes desolation. See, this is what is the scriptures that are now being played out in the Talmudim's hearts and minds. Because they have no reference, as I said earlier, for Matthew through Revelation. But they do understand Daniel. They were raised, they were taught, they were given instruction what these words mean. Daniel 12:11 goes on to say this: from that time the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that causes desolation is now set up. And there will be 1,290 days. How blessed will be anyone who waits on whom? Adonai, and arrives at 1,335 days. But you, verse 13 of Daniel 12, go your way until the end comes. Then you will rest and rise, for your reward is at the end of days. See, what Yeshua is telling them this is that there's going to be a destruction of the temple, the second temple. But he's also speaking prophetically for those that will be living during the times of the third temple. You see. And that's why at many times when you read the scriptures, it can be kind of confusing. Because it appears, well, he's speaking about this one account. But it's laying the framework and the foundation for the word of God to be fulfilled in completeness. And you see, there's a check reference here point, a basis of understanding that the Talmudim, the disciples, now can draw from. Okay? So now continuing here. Now we're back to Matthew 24:16. That the time for those in Judah, I tell them now to escape. Wait a second. Is this not the Messiah who gives all protection and all power? And does he have not all power and authority? Absolutely. But at this time, what he's saying to them this, is that this time the anti-Messiah will be in authority in Jerusalem. Now, is he speaking to people in the United States? Absolutely not. We have to take this in its full context, do we not? Who is he speaking to but those who are living in Judah? And you know what? Until May 15th, 1948, There are very few Jewish people living in Israel, right? And so what God, by his sovereign will, had to do, he had to draw our people back from the four corners of the earth to reestablish the nation yet one day. So there are times when the scripture appears like, well, it's out of context with our daily lives and what we're experiencing. But we're to know this, that when God says something, it is yes and amen, and he shall fulfill it. Continuing here in verse 17. If someone is on the roof, he must not go to gather his belongings from the house. This is a time of great persecution. Will it be happening in America, France, Moscow? Absolutely not. Where will it be happening? But in Israel, in a specific area, in Jerusalem and Judea. So going on in verse 24:18. If someone is in the field, he must turn back to get his coat, okay? And for some of us, we may be thinking, well, that's just a nice little gesture. But understand this. It was during the summer, okay? And what would happen? You wouldn't be wearing your winter coat working out in the fields, right? Or your cloak or your garments. And so you'd be wearing minimal clothing. And so he's saying this. Even though that, you know, as the sun sets, what happens? It gets colder. Even in desert areas, people can get hypothermia, can they not? Absolutely, okay? So going on here, verse 24:19. What a terrible time it will be for pregnant women and nursing mothers, all right? Because they're going to have to drop everything, grab their babies, and flee. Whenever my daughter-in-law, my son-in-law come over, you know what they bring with them? The supply bag, right? You have to have the car seat. You got to have all this stuff, all right? So think of that in modern, you know, terminology here. They're not going to be able to go and grab the car seat. Everyone's going to hop in the car and head what? Head out of Israel. Head out of Jerusalem. Head out of Judah. And where are they going to flee? They're going to flee to the east. So continuing here. Matthew 24:20. Pray that you will not have to escape in the winter or on Shabbat. What happens in Israel during the winter in Jerusalem? Sometimes they get ice, sometimes they get snow, and it's very, very cold. Can you think of the traffic? And how about on Shabbat? He's speaking to very observant Jewish people, all right? And they would not even travel up to 5 miles. Why? Because you'd be breaking Shabbat, okay? So continuing here. Verse 24:21, for there will be trouble then worse than there has ever been from the beginning of the world until now, and there shall be nothing like it again. And what is he saying here? Now begins the great tribulation. Every generation, I believe, that have ever read this portion of scripture, and as things become troublesome during their lifetimes, they truly believe that they were living at the ebbs of the Great Tribulation. How about in our own nation the last 20 years? People have written books and have proclaimed this person or that person as the anti-Messiah. But what has happened? Has it come true? Absolutely not. What are some of the key ingredients that are missing there? There's not a third temple. The abomination of desolation hasn't arrived yet. Okay? And Yeshua is going to give us even more telltale signs as we go through this. And so this in his own words, he says this, the world will be tribulated, but even more so, intensely, will Judah and Jerusalem. It's going to be even more troubling than the missiles flying. Because there's going to be a man in power who they trusted. And he's allowed them to build the third temple. And to begin the sacrificial system yet again. And the Levitical priesthood will re-arise, okay? And what's going to happen to a lot of Messianic believers at that time? They're going to be asking the Lord, well, should we participate in these morning and evening sacrifices? And these grain offerings? Should we be participating in these? What is the answer? The book of Messianic Jews, Hebrews. So let us go forward now with this message. The abomination of desolation, the signal of the start of the Great Tribulation. And so what scriptures were playing in the Talmudim's minds at this point? But Joel, the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 2. And this is what it says there in Joel 2, verse 2. Let all the land tremble. Now, is this speaking about the United States or Paris or London? No. What is the land? It is the land of Israel. So we've got to take things in their full proper context here, okay? Let all in the land, who's in the land but the Jewish people? And it says this, let all they that are in the land tremble, for the day of Adonai is coming. It is upon us, a darkness of gloom, a day of clouds and thick fog. A great and mighty horde now is spreading like blackness over the mountains. Can't you now sense the hopelessness that is here? But who is telling him these words? But the Messiah, he that created the heavens and the earth, he that created them, who has divinely called them to be his apostles. So continuing here. There has never been anything like it, nor will there ever be again, not even after the years of many generations. Daniel 12:1 comes to their memory. And it says this, when that time comes, Michael, who is Michael, you know what his name means, the angel? Who is like Adonai? That's what his name means. Continuing here. Michael, the great angel who champions your people. What people? Israel, will stand up, and there will be a time of distress unparalleled between the time they, who's they? Israel, became a nation, and at that moment. And at that time, your people, whom Israel, will be delivered, and everyone's whose name is written in the book. Traditionally, at Yom Kippur, we as Jews desire what? That our names be inscribed in the book, right? Absolutely. So he's speaking to their hearts here. He's speaking to the choir. He's speaking to those who have understanding of what the Word of God says through Genesis, through Malachi, Bereshit through Malachi. Back to Matthew 24:22. Indeed, if the length of this time, what time? The Great Tribulation, had not been limited, no one would survive. Has there been calamities? Have there been tornadoes? Have there been tsunamis? Have there been earthquakes to the extent that practically no one survived? There have been survivors. But whose word is, whose opinion is this? But he who created the heavens and the earth, he who is now shaking the heavens and the earth. Who are you going to put your trust in? But him. Continuing here. But for the sake of those who have been chosen, who are the chosen here? But the Jewish people. Its length will be now limited. Verse 23. At that time, when? The Great Tribulation. If someone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe him. Why? Because when this anti-Messiah comes, he will be operating in demonic power, miraculous power. And who's the one who's saying this to them? But the very one that they saw walk on water, raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons, all demonic entities were under his power and authority. And he says this to you, even you, if possible, can be deceived. But who is the one who brings all truth to us so that we will not walk in deception, but the Spirit of the living God? Continuing here, 24:24. For there will appear false messiahs and false prophets performing miracles and amazing things. Whose lips are saying these amazing things? But Yeshua himself. So as to fool even the chosen, if possible. They, this is commentary, the false messiahs and prophets will perform miracles by demon power and trickery. But Yeshua's focus was now on the false messiahs. He's not saying don't be concerned now about the sun turning black and this and the moon stop shining and the stars that have fallen from the heavens. What's going to cause you to lose out with me is these false messiahs and these false prophets. That is why the word of God, we should have that endeared in our hearts. So that we will stand upon what? Not by what we see, not by what our friends, not by even by our prayers, but we would stand by the word of God. Because what causes us to effectually pray properly? It is the word of God. It's not our feelings. It's not our circumstances. It's not where we find ourselves, but it is in the literal word of God. There will be false messiahs and prophets, teachers. He's saying, do not focus on date setting here. So should we not be focused on what Yeshua is focused on as the ones that we have to look out for? The false messiahs and false prophets? Absolutely. Matthew 24:25. There I, Yeshua, have told you in advance. Isn't it amazing? When Abba Father God through his son was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, what did he do? He, with two angels, went and visited whom? Our father of faith, Abraham, and told him, this is what I'm about to do. Continuing here. Verse 24:26. So if people say to you, listen, he is out in the desert, in reference to the Messiah, don't go. Or look, he is hidden away in a secret room, do not believe it. Matthew 24:27. For when the Son of Man comes, it will be like lightning that flashes from the east and fills the sky to the western horizon. It will come suddenly. And it is amazing that even today's song we sang about what? The Lord is like lightning. Continuing here very quickly. Matthew 24:28. Whenever there's a dead body, that's where you will find vultures. Okay? Now that kind of seems like out of context, does it not? Dr. David Stern had these comments on it. Birds of prey are on carrion. Seem to refer here to persons used by demonic spirits to carry out evil purposes. They gather around false messiahs or false corpses and draw people away from the truth. Biblical scholars today summarize that Yeshua is now quoting from a folk proverb. Okay? Now moving quickly to Matthew 24:29. But immediately following the trouble of those times, the sun will grow dark and the moon will stop shining. Has this ever happened before? We've had eclipses over the sun, right, and over the moon. But it has the sun lost its power. It has not happened yet.
The fires went back when the Iraq invaded Kuwait. Mm-hmm. They basically set every oil well on fire. There was so much smoke, they said that it nearly blocked out the sun.
Mm-hmm. But the sun was there the next day.
Yeah, well, it wasn't permanent.
That's right. And that's what Yeshua is saying here. If you really want to know the great tribulation is happening, that's when the sun goes black and the moon stops shining. Okay? Now, how many Bible prophecy books might state that they're in, but they say, well, we're right there. We're not there yet. There's not the third temple. You see, this is, and from whom's lips is this coming from? But Yeshua himself, all right? We're to know what? The times and the seasons. Well, here's some signs. A lot of people were moved by those red blood moons, were they not? What happened? Nothing. All right? So let us focus on the signs and Yeshua's opinion on these last days. Now going quickly. So, the scripture that came to reference to mind of his Talmud team was what? Isaiah 13:10. Yeshayahu in the Hebrew. And this is what it says. For the stars and their constellations in the sky will no longer give their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will no longer shine. See, this is what was playing in the minds as the Spirit of the living God. And this is why I say to you, as you meditate on God's word, okay, he will bring that word back to you. And so when deception comes your way, the word of God is then being laid out in front of you. And the Spirit of the living God is asking you, what does the word say? And what do you trust therein? What you're hearing, what you're seeing, or what the word of God says. So continuing here. The next verse would be Ezekiel chapter 32, 7 through 8. And this is what is said there. I, Adonai, will cover the sky and make the stars black. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon will no longer give its light. All shining lights in the sky I will darken above you. And I will spread darkness over your land, says Adonai Elohim. Joel 2:10 goes on to say this. At their advance, the earth quakes, the sky shakes, the sun and the moon turn back, the stars stop shining. On to verse Joel 3:4. The sun will be turned into blackness and the moon turned into blood before the great and terrible day of Adonai. The sun and the moon have grown black and the stars have stopped shining. It goes on to say this. And then Adonai will roar from Zion. He will thunder from Jerusalem. The sky and the earth will shake. Why? They are but his servants. Amen. Continuing Matthew 24:29. The stars will fall from the sky. And the powers which are the sun and the moon in the heavens, which are the universe, will be shaken. Isaiah, Yeshayahu 34:4 says this, the whole host, that is the sun, of the heavens will decompose, and the heavens, which are the universes themselves, will be rolled up like a scroll, and their array, that is their light and their glory, will wither away like withering grape leaf that falls from a vine, or a withered fig that falls from a tree. Don't you feel cheated? In that all this background, maybe from your tradition, your culture you were not trained on, what the prophets say about these last days, but we have it here. Those who have been grafted in, it is here for you. Haggai 2:6 goes on to say this. This is what Adonai Zavaot, the Lord of hosts, says. It will be long before one more time. It won't be long before one more time that I shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I, Adonai, will shake the heavens and the earth. Matthew 24:30. The sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the tribes of the land, where's the land but in Israel, will mourn. All the tribes. Is that just speaking of Judah and Benjamin? All the tribes. God, by his power, will reveal those 10 lost tribes in the end, and he will bring them back to the land. Continuing here. And all the tribes of the land of Israel will mourn. This refers to Zechariah 12:10-14 that says this. And it refers to the day when the people of Israel will mourn over God, the Messiah, who was pierced, as they would mourn over their own firstborn son. When that day comes, there will be great mourning throughout Jerusalem. Can you imagine that? When he appears? And I'll stop right there. Because there's no lights in the sky. The moon is what? It's black. The sun is black and the moon is red, and it's lost its ability to shine. And all the stars in the heaven are no more. And that's when a Messiah appears, like lightning, that you'll be able to see him. Blessed be the name of the Lord.